The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the third chapter. Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." The Gospel of the Lord. When I was about 12 years old, I got my first job. I guess you could call it a job. I started mowing the grass for my grandparents down the street. It was a job my brother had done for years up to this point, but he was now going off to college, and so the torch was being passed to me, and I could not have been more excited. So as I walked up the driveway that first day, all I wanted to do was pull the cord on the lawnmower and take off down the yard. But that was not in the plans. Instead, my grandfather met me in the garage and informed me that today we wouldn't be cutting the grass, at least not all of it. That before we started this process of me trying to maintain their yard, I had to learn how to use this equipment. I had to learn how to protect myself and probably more importantly others as I was for the first time beginning to use these power tools. And so on that day, we stood in my grandfather's garage for a couple of hours and learned everything there was that my grandfather could teach me about lawn care. He taught me about the different power tools, about how to turn them on and off, about how to make sure that I was safe in an emergency. He showed me where the safety glasses were and the work gloves, taught me how to properly wrap an extension cord. We even pulled out a map in the days before there was a map in our pocket and did the math to figure out how long it would take me to walk versus ride my bike so that I could be on time when I told them that I was coming to come and mow their grass. My grandfather was so convinced that this training was important that he was more than willing to pay me extra for this time, even though the only grass we cut that day was a few thin strips in the back as he taught me how to walk in straight lines and let the blades do the work. In the years since this time, I've gone on to other slightly more gainful employment and have determined that these lessons my grandfather was teaching me were not just about lawn care. In fact, these were lessons that would apply to everything I've done in my life since. He taught me responsibility, the importance of being on time for an appointment that you make. He taught me how to take care of things that are valuable and how to respect those things that can be dangerous. He taught me how to think creatively to solve a problem and perhaps even more importantly, how to know when I was in over my head and call a professional. He taught me all of this because, whether he knew it or not, but I'm convinced that he did, he was teaching me life's lessons that would stick with me for years and decades to come. And it occurs to me this morning as we spend our time thinking about the gift of baptism that these waters function in much the same way for us. These waters are our training ground to learn all the skills that we need for whatever challenges may face us in this life of following Jesus. And so as we think this morning about this story from Matthew, and we recall this time when Jesus himself is baptized, we hear about Jesus going down to John to meet him, to be baptized in the river, and John himself saying, "I'm not supposed to baptize you. This isn't how it's supposed to work." And yet Jesus insists, "To fulfill all righteousness, you must baptize me." It occurs to me as we hear this story that, you know, a couple weeks ago we heard this great Christmas story, this birth narrative of Jesus, and we have an entire holiday and celebratory season centered around that story. And yet Only two of our four Gospels have that story. Similarly, every week we come to the table and we have communion, and yet only three of our Gospels really have the story of Jesus breaking bread and wine with his disciples. And yet this baptism story is so crucially important to the work and to the life of Jesus that all four of our gospel authors include this story, along with the crucifixion and the resurrection, to say this is central to the life and ministry of Jesus. Whatever else might be going on, whatever other pieces of the story we are going to tell, this is where Jesus' ministry starts. And so before he begins his public ministry, before he's sent out into the wilderness to be tempted, before he's healing the sick and giving sight to the blind and eating with sinners, Jesus comes to the water and is baptized in the same way that we baptize today. And God's love and grace are poured out upon him. Jesus receives the Holy Spirit, and in that moment is assured of the purpose and mission for which he has come, so that he has everything that he will need to face whatever it is that is coming his way, including his death. Friends, we have done ourselves a great disservice through the ages by allowing our understanding of baptism to be limited as though it's simply a marker to get us into heaven, as though it's our golden ticket through the pearly gates. Yes, of course, we are marked with the cross of Christ and sealed with the Holy Spirit forever. And yes, though as we are baptized into a death like Christ, we believe we will be raised to new life like Christ. But Jesus was already God's Son. Jesus was already living in that Eden life, that Eden relationship which was intended for all of us. And so baptism for Jesus was not about gaining the heavenly ticket. Baptism for Jesus was this training ground, this place where Jesus' purpose and mission was made so abundantly clear that he and his followers after him could look back to this point in time to draw strength and courage and hope in those moments when the road seemed too crooked, or the challenges too great, or the enemies too many. Baptism is not about preparing ourselves for some future life to which we hope for. It is giving us the tools and the gifts to live that life now, in this place, on this earth, to live as though the kingdom of God has already come and is made manifest through each and every one of us. In your baptism, we name you a child of God so that you would remember that as long as you walk on this earth, there is no other power that claims authority over your life. In your baptisms, we ask you to confess the faith of the creeds, not so that we can prove some right knowledge, but for the moments when you cannot find your own faith, that you might cling to the faith of the church eternal. In your baptisms, we sprinkle you with water, not to cleanse you from whatever sin you committed that morning, but to give you the strength and the courage to boldly live out your faith, no matter what seemingly impossible challenges you might face. This is the gift of baptism, that we are given everything we need to face all the challenges that come our way from this life into the next. So it seems appropriate that on this morning, when we are hearing so much in detail about Jesus' own baptism, and in this time of the year when we are all perhaps asking ourselves what those resolutions are that we would like to make or attempt to keep that perhaps will better our lives in the future, it seems appropriate that we would ask this question. How will the world know that we are a baptized child of God? Will we take the time to talk about our baptisms? Or will we remain silent? Will our friends at school know that it's odd and a little bit strange that we, every year on our baptismal anniversary, take the time to light our baptism candle? Or will they never know anything about it? Will our coworkers realize that we are unwilling to allow ourselves to be drugged down into the muck of gossip and slander and the ugly side of office politics? Or will our actions devolve into the morass of sin that has come to define our world? Will we live out our faith boldly, strengthened by the Spirit, to care for those that are on the margins of our society, to reach out to those deemed untouchable by those around us, to extend compassion to those labeled as criminal, to eat with those labeled as sinner? Or will we live in fear, holding on to a promise of salvation, but afraid to lose it if we do or say the wrong thing? Friends, this gift of baptism is already yours. You are a child of God forever. You have been marked with the cross of Christ forever. You have been sealed with the Holy Spirit forever. The gift of life with God is already yours, and there is nothing that you can do to lose it, so have no fear. When the world and the powers of this world cry out for war, you have the strength to work towards peace. When they call out and demand loyalty to an individual or to a party or to a nation, you have the courage to remain loyal to God. When they promise wealth and security, you have the wisdom to seek security from the God of Abraham and Sarah, the God whose son was born through Mary so that we might have life. Many of you know that while I was home visiting family over this Christmas season, my grandfather died. And as I've spent these last few days thinking about the many ways in which he has impacted my life and impacted the lives of everyone he's known, I cannot help but remember these life lessons and the way that they have shaped me for years and decades to come. So too, our baptisms, though they were perhaps years or even decades in the past, these are the places that shape us forever. Though perhaps we did not hear the voice of God breaking through the heavens, though perhaps a dove did not come and land on our head, in this water, in these promises, your life has forever been changed. And you have been given everything that you need. Because in this very moment, in this very place, God calls you beloved. And is giving you everything that you need to live that kingdom life of compassion, of mercy, of justice, and grace for all. God loves each of you, and I do too.